Today is our first interview with an animal on the show.
Not just an animal, you mean the animal, Joe Sawaska.
It's showtime. This is The Ski Show, the ultimate show ski podcast, bringing you news, knowledge, in-depth interviews with legends and stars of our sport, and a little bit of fun. Here are your hosts, Matt Heilman and Adam Schaller.
Welcome to The Ski Show, the ultimate show ski podcast and the only podcast on the planet dedicated to the sport of show skiing. Big shout out today to David Anderson and Elizabeth Cross on their marriage this past weekend. Congrats to you both. Today on the show, we have a guest who is long overdue for his own episode, a gentleman who has been on every single Team USA since it started in 2012. As Adam just said, Mr. Joe, the animal, Sawaska.
Yeah, looking forward to catching up with Joe today. Today's sponsors are Florida World, the dark satirical fiction novel written by our last guest, Steve Welch, about a professional water skier at the Florida World theme park. And we are sponsored by Flyman Skis, custom-made jump skis and featherboard swivel skis at affordable prices. Get yours at flymanskis.com. And by Championship Awards, the best awards and custom gifts in the business, made by the great Dan Jaws Jaworski.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute, Adam. We will once again have beautiful custom-made awards by Championship Awards for our Ski Show Awards show. Can't recommend Championship Awards highly enough. If you need awards for your sports team, your company, if you need office gifts, Christmas gifts, custom engraving, lasering, Championship Awards is where you need to go. We can't wait to showcase these awards at our awards show. Our awards committee just finished up multiple meetings over the last week to talk about all the candidates for all 31 award categories. They are now moving on to the voting stage, and it's going to be exciting once again, Adam.
Yeah, as you mentioned, 31 awards categories. Five nominees in each category is going to be announced in November. That's 155 nominees. I mean, it's the spreadsheets, the amount of Zoom meetings, the longest message thread in Facebook that I have ever seen. I mean, just a ton of work going into this, and it's all for the award show that's going to happen the Friday night of Think Tank at the Chula Vista on March 1st.
Yeah, and other exciting show ski news, the IWWF World 3-Event Tournament was held this last weekend at Jack Travers in Central Florida. The best 3-event skiers in the world and some show skiers got to do some exhibitions at this event. The Future of Jump Is Now gang, that's led by George Hartman and Wayne Borowski, they do freestyle jump clinics all over, and they've been growing the popularity of freestyle jump. They coordinated this event, and they got show skiing the opportunity to perform at the World 3-Event Tournament. They had several of their young jumpers who attended the Future of Jump clinics. They got to ski there, and they had a few other top skiers as well. Pete Hegarty was one that got to perform at the 3-Event World. So I think it's super cool to see the synergy and collaboration among the sports disciplines. I'd love to see more of it. Congrats to all on that one.
Yeah, it's very cool because at the end of the day, we're all water skiers. And as we talked about on our Joel Poland podcast is, man, if we could get some type of freestyle jump exhibition at, you know, Masters or something like that, how cool would that be for, you know, for us to show what we can do to the 3-eventers? And, you know, I think it would just be a ton of fun for everybody. And you know who had a big presence among the show skiers at the IWWF World 3-Event Tournament was Flyman Skis. Of course, Flyman Skis, they're everywhere showing the world what their jump skis and featherboard swivel skis can do.
That's right. World-class materials, world-class products at a world-class event. These skis are made for skiers by skiers. They are the only true custom-made skis on the market, and they are affordable. Beginners, rising stars, and the sport's most elite skiers are riding Flyman skis, and you should too. Get your custom-made jump skis and featherboard swivel skis today at flymanskis.com. That's flymanskis.com.
All right, time to get to our featured interview today. He's a tremendous all-around skier. He's had a long history as an amateur and a professional, and he's been on every single Team USA since it started in 2012. We've watched him grow up before our eyes, and it's an honor to finally have on the show Joe Sawaska.
Welcome to the show, Joe Sawaska. What's going on, Joe? How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me, Matt and Adam. I'm excited.
You bet, buddy. Good to have you.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, with every single guest we have on the podcast, we always start with, how did you get into water skiing? So that's what we're going to start with today.
Well, water skiing started for me in Oldsmar, Florida. We found the Tampa Bay ski team on this little lake in the middle of everywhere, basically. And my dad met a lady and basically went to check it out and fell in love with it. And I think with him signing up immediately, I was in the shows within 2 or 3 weeks, you know, doing the trios or, you know, the lighter, more beginner acts to get me started. But from then on, I was at the lake almost every day.
Were you like a teenager at that time? How old were you when you joined Tampa?
I was 15 at the time, yeah.
Okay. Were they at Tower Lake at that time?
Indeed, yes. Nice. And I lived about a mile and a half from the lake at that time. So before I had my driver's license, I would wear my jump helmet and my wetsuit and strap my jumpers to my back and ride my bike there. And it was, great times at Tower Lake.
That's awesome, you know, and so you grew into that. Now, your sister Trina was on the team. Your dad, was he driving boat right away, or how did that all evolve with the family all getting involved with Tampa?
I got started right away, and I think Trina, she joined, I think, a few months after I did, and dove right in as well. And then dad was kind of behind the scenes for a while. He liked to videotape everything. And then I think a driver spot opened up, and with a little convincing, he jumped in the seat, and now he can't get him out of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Who were like some mentors of yours in those early days on Tampa when you were kind of growing into things and learning?
Well, I was lucky enough, I guess I say lucky enough, to get started right when the gardens closed. So a bunch of those skiers came over and joined Tampa team. So I vividly remember laying on my back in the bottom of the single rig one time after Scorpion on a barefoot step-off and looking up and seeing Howard McCalla, Greg Pear, Ryan Welch, and Don Bufa all laughing at me, you know, telling me I'll get through this, and I'm, you know, telling them it's not funny. But, from then on, Mark Neuberger pulled me a lot. Every time I was there, he'd call me out. Hey, let's do a little project, and then I'll pull you a few times around the lake. So he was a lot. Brian Robbins was a lot. There's so many people, but right off the get-go, those are the first few names I can think of.
Sure. Joe, when did you make the transition from amateur team to professional?
Let's see. So I joined Tampa team in 2003. Right around the end of my high school career, I graduated in 2006. And then I think immediately I went to work at Cypress Gardens under Stars of Florida. So I guess about 3 years of just skiing every day at the home site. And then I got the opportunity and I ran with it.
So you've been there a long time. You've been at, you know, what's now Legoland for a long time, but let's, you've had chunks of time in the middle. I want to kind of dive into your days at Bartlett's. You were at Tommy Bartlett's for quite a few years, you know, not just skiing, but doing a lot of work for the Tommy Bartlett show as well. Talk about your Bartlett's days a little bit.
Yeah, I got to spend 9 summers at Bartlett's and I think 3 or 4 winters. The summers are way more fun, I can say that. But that doesn't take away from the winter activities. There's, I mean, snowboarding, I like that too. But anyway, back to Bartlett's. It's just such a great place, really, not just for the ski show, but like to grow as an individual too. You show up and don't know anybody there, and then, you know, within 2 weeks, we're all hanging out and having a good time together. But then on the water, it's, you know, production every day, 7 days a week, a day and a night show. So that was always interesting. Skiing at night's a little different. But it was a blast, just having fun with friends on and off the water. It was a great time at Bartlett's.
What are some of your favorite Bartlett memories? What do you got? What kind of stories? What resonates with you today?
Let's see. First one I can talk about is putting Jamie Cumline's scooter in a tree. Me and Cody Coffee were in the.
I think front Cody of the, shared that picture with us. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was harder to get it down than put it up. That's for sure. But yeah, all sorts of shenanigans. It was, you know, every other day somebody's scooter was being hidden, or, you know, whatnot. But another favorite memory was, getting to announce, quite a few Bartlett shows. I blew out my shoulder shoe skiing into the stage, and, I kind of took that opportunity to try to learn the whole rest of the ski show. So I was a stagehand, I was an announcer, I was a light operator, an usher, I worked in a snack bar. So yeah, it was a really good experience at Bartlett's all the way around, just to really, I don't know, bring my full ski knowledge together, I guess.
Joe, did you announce the show at Bartlett's when Team USA was there? Was that 2016?
I believe I did.
Yeah. Yep. I remember
it was
that.
It was a night show.
Yep. That's correct. Yeah. 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 You're a good announcer.
Yeah. Dude. I can't. I remember because all the boys are trying to fluster me, and it was like, you know what? I just can't look at that section anymore. So I think at one point I just turned my back to that section. It was like, I'm not even paying attention to them over there. But, yeah, and that's another fun part about announcing is, like, you know, all the boys are trying to mess you up and screw up your words, and you know, it's just the same thing we do off the water, or on the water, excuse me, is, you know, carries on stage.
And did you ski at Bartlett's up until it closed?
I did not. I skied there until 2018.
Okay.
And then I believe there was one more season there after I left.
And what did you do after 18?
18, I've been a full-time Legoland water skier since then, working under Stars of Florida.
So you've been a professional water skier since 2006?
Yep.
Like, no breaks?
Well, there's, I mean, being up north, there is quite a few winters off.
Sure,
but as far as like, something. I never took a year off, per se. I mean, I blew out my knee at one point, so I took a few months off for that, but, you know, dug right back in after. And,
You're known as a really good all-around performer, and we've gotten to know you as that. Freestyle jumping, sky skiing, exceptional sky ski, barefooting. When did all that kind of come into the mix, and like maybe with sky ski in particular, when did you fall in love with that and make that kind of one of your go-to things?
When I first joined the team, the guys all kind of instilled in me, you know, dip into everything, kind of make yourself a well-rounded skier if you ever want to become a pro skier. So I kind of took that in the mind, and that was always back there. Like, all right, I love doing jumping or whatnot, but like, let's go take a barefoot run, or let's go do something else that I necessarily don't enjoy as much, but it helped. And as far as the sky ski, I did not like that thing at first. I peeled both eyelids back and, you know, took a rib shot, and then I put it back on the shelf. I was like, I'm done with this thing. I never want to ride it. Granted, it was like one of the first generation air chairs that, you know, I found in the shed at the site. So once I got to ride a little upgraded ski, it was like, oh, that's what this is about. And then that took over. It was a lot easier on the knees than jumping.
What do you think is your favorite discipline? Like, if you had to pick one, what would it be?
Oh, man. If I had to pick one, I'd say jump, just because of the thrill of it. However, I do tend to sky ski a lot more often, just because of the freedom of it. You want to do a trick now, you can just do it. Where with the jump, it's like, all right, let's turn the boat around. We got to head back to the jump.
Yep.
But if you could have 30 jumps in a row, 10 years ago, me would say, let's do it all day, you know.
Sure. But, sure. Joe, what's your role at Legoland? Are you doing any announcing there? Is it strictly skiing?
Strictly water skier. I am in management now, so I'm kind of, I guess, the safety manager, if you want to call it. Kind of overlook all the skis and ropes, and just the work site, just to kind of keep a safe environment. So if like anything's broken or it needs repaired, I'm kind of the guy that's, I either make the repair or take it to whoever needs to make the repair. So it's good. It's a lot of fun doing three shows a day. It can get a little boring sometimes under that stadium. So it's a nice little side work that kind of helped me keep busy.
You know, and aside from the few winters you spent up in Wisconsin, you've really been at LEGO in some capacity for over 15 years. Talk about that. What have you liked about being there? Talk about the evolution of the show, because it's changed over time. How's life at Legoland?
It's good. We're performing to a younger audience, which is a little bit different because we're always, you know, performing to people more of, you know, our age, teenagers and above, if you will. But now it's like, it's a different show. It's a good show, but it's, you know, it's different corny jokes and whatnot, which is different from a lot of the other ski shows I've done, because it's all more like full action, in your face, run to your next spot. You know, you're busy the whole show, where this one's more like you got time in between acts to sort yourself out. But what I like most about the place is it's just like, it's historic.
Right.
You walk up to the site and like you stand on top of the hill and in between both stadiums, it's just like you take it in for a minute. It's kind of a cool feeling. And then walking into the stadium, it's kind of the same smell, you know, that never goes away. But yeah, just knowing that you're part of some big history, you know, it's kind of neat to do it every day.
How's it been for you there? And maybe you haven't sensed or felt this evolution in yourself, but you go from young guy, 18 years old, who starts his professional career, and now you're the veteran guy mentoring these 18-year-old kids coming in to ski at LEGO or younger. Like, we had Eli Carson on the show and he called you Mr. Joe. You know, these young kids, right? Now you're the veteran that is mentoring and teaching and training them. How's that evolution been for you at LEGO over time?
Yeah, I'd say my outlook's changed quite a bit. When I first started, it was like, go, you know, let's 110% all the time on the water. And I think now I've kind of learned to harness some of that and use it when it's needed. But yeah, it's different from coming in being, I was the youngest guy for probably 2 or 3 years, when I first started. And then now it's like, sometimes I look out on the oldest guy standing there. So it's quite a bit different. Yeah. Knowing, I jumped with Eli and Luke a few days ago and I looked over at him. It's like, Jesus, I'm older than both of you guys combined now. So, you know, like, what is going on? But, yeah, it's cool. It's definitely a different perspective, but it's helping me grow and helping me make, you know, better, wiser decisions on the spot rather than just, you know, wild dogging it, if you will.
Sure. I mean, to that point, Joe, how's the, you know, 3 shows a day, how's the body holding up?
It's pretty good. A lot of the skiers do the drive spots as well. So I'll ski 1 or 2 shows a day and then drive or have like a ride spot the other. And when the show's at full capacity, we also have like a jet ski position and a tri flyboard position. So not bad, I guess, to answer your question. We all have our aches and pains, but the managers do real good of scheduling everybody where it kind of keeps us well-rounded and not pushing everybody to their limits.
Adam, let's before we dive in to talk about Team USA, let's chat a little bit about this book that we chatted the last couple podcasts on called Florida World. I know, Joe, you know Steve Welch, the author of that, don't you?
I do. Yeah, we've been the pleasure of traveling a few shows together with the Stars of Florida abroad, and then just recently he announced the Turkey Shoe Out for us, the premier shoe ski tournament.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, he's got an awesome new book called Florida World.
Yeah, Florida World's obviously written by Steve Welch. He's a show announcer, writer, director for SeaWorld shows and theme parks around the world. This book is a fictional book about the underworld of Florida theme parks. Florida World is a dark, satirical crime novel that takes readers into the distinctly Floridian world of sex, violence, and water ski shows.
Yeah, in Florida World, the main character, Eric Walters' dream is to be a water skier in the Sunshine State's original theme park, Florida World, but that becomes a nightmare when corpses start piling up in the trailer parks, convenience stores, and gator-filled waterways of scenic Bacopa County.
Yeah, Florida World's a Southern Gothic ghost story set in a dying theme park, and it's a loving tribute to the weird, wonderful world of water ski shows. Hopefully, readers will come away entertained, maybe a little disturbed, but most of all, with a new love for the quirky world of ski shows and an old-school Sunshine State theme parks. Should be noted, the book contains adult content, so kids, hands off.
You can get the book on Amazon, and we will have the link in the show notes. All right, Joe, so you've been a member of every Team USA since the start.
7.
2012 right? Was the very first Worlds, and you've been on every single team. Let's talk about that journey. First of all, congratulations to you on being a member of all of those. Wow.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Definitely exciting, and I'm pumped to perform for USA.
Yeah. So take us back to that first one. How old were you, and what was that like in 2012?
2012, let's see. How old am I now? I mean, yeah, I want to say I was probably 23, 24. Just coming off of summer at Bartlett, so we had a great time, and I think I just carried that energy into the team, and just I had a blast with everything about it. It's fun. The first one was a lot of fun because it was like nobody had no idea what to expect. It was, you know, let's put this team together and kind of hope everybody shows up, I felt like. No, it was a great time. Just get, you know, pulling everybody together, putting the team together, and then how the chemistry rolls with all the teammates, and just how everybody's kind of there to lift each other up. That hasn't changed throughout the years, which is awesome. But like back to the first one, nobody knew what to expect, so everybody was just kind of, I guess, ready for whatever was going to come. And it turned out to be a real, real good first experience that was able to carry on.
Joe, how do you think the USA show has changed over this kind of this seven different teams that you've been a part of?
I want to say production has definitely become more prominent, especially in this last show that we performed. Going back and watching it, it was like really exciting to watch. It doesn't take away from any of the other shows, just because it was all packed with skill and all, you know, everything else, where the production just really pulls it all together.
Yeah, that's been a fun part for us, is to ramp up the production side, and it's really been necessary. You know, it's hard. I think early on we used the excuse like, you know, we don't have much time together. How sophisticated can the production be when we've only got a few practices together? But we've since put a lot of effort into that side of things, and you know, watching what Australia did for a couple of worlds in a row there with really strong productions, we're like, you know, we got to kick it into gear. And so it's been fun to mix the insane talent with the production side. What are your favorite team? Like, if you look back on all seven teams, do you have a few favorite memories that stand out, either from show or travel or teammates? You know, it's a lot of time for you to spend on Team USA. It's awesome.
I think my favorite, just one memory, is pulling the Twisted Sister behind the Funk Man, Mark Mikey. That was always kind of a cool moment, because we had skied together all summer and then went through the whole Team USA experience together, and we made it. So that's always one of the top memories. Seven-man front flips, definitely up there.
Yep.
But one memory I have is in Canada. We, it was rough water and we had some issues, and I forget exactly how it led up, but I think I was in the Sky Sea line, and then everybody got off, and then I had to go out and cut out and just sit in the lake. But we had something happen where we show went down. So I'm like out there sitting by myself, freezing cold, like 20, 25 minutes, you know, it's like people are waving at me laughing, and I'm sitting out there like, yeah, come get me. They're like, no, we're about to start. You're back. And so I sat out there freezing, but, you know, it turned out to be a laughing point. But Sky Ski Line's always fun, working together with the guys. This last one, Sky Ski with Pyramid, that's up there too. Not necessarily the skiing, it was the start. It was
that was a wild start, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was probably the most amped up I've been about a Sky Ski deep up that I've ever had.
And for for people that don't know, like for our audience, because they didn't see that, we're way down in this barge on the far end of the lake. We have you and Gino are out wide of the pyramid barge, and the pyramid's on the dock ready. But you guys got to be super wide. For one, we put Gino on shore, and his foil's like hitting bottom. You're swimming out wide because that boat's rolling out. It's a twin rig pulling off a 23-person pyramid, and he's got to be rolling out at 15 miles an hour. Yeah. And you got to do a sky ski deep with that.
Yeah, so yeah, it was tricky timing. So it was like, yeah, I swam all the way out I think it was 185 feet of Spectra line. So then you get the initial hit from the twin rig or triple. So, you know, pull everybody off the dock. So then it, you know, deeps you up, you're at the top of the foil, and then you get the speed. So then it pulls you back down, you smash the board in. It's just, I'm glad we're done with that one.
It was awesome, yeah. Though. It was eye-popping to have, you know, you guys flipping alongside of a double top four high. That was so fun.
Yeah, it definitely was fun. And the learning experience of it, too, you know. That's something else that you don't really go through with anybody else but Team USA, because, you know, who's going to really try that kind of stuff? So it's neat.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely. I don't want to understate the fact that you've been on every single Team USA. I think there's only one other person, and that's Dave.
That's Dave,
right?
Yep.
And you know, Dave's been a show director, so Joe, you kind of stand alone in the fact that you have been the only water skier that's had to apply and be selected for seven consecutive Team USAs. I mean, that's a testament to, number one, how good you are, how well-rounded you are. You've stayed healthy, and, you know, everybody wants to have you as a teammate. So, man, shout out. That's awesome.
Well, thanks a lot. Yeah, that means a lot, too. It's just because that's kind of what I try to do is, I guess, make myself available to help or to be a good teammate, you know, or to just do what's needed, whether it's get down and dirty or stand there and take in the applause after Final Pyramid or, you know, something. It's just whatever needs to do it.
What's been fun from my perspective, Joe, and I think you have probably felt this, but is to watch your personal evolution and growth over time from that first Worlds in 2012. You were a wild knucklehead, immature, and to see the man you've grown into as a teammate and a leader and a family man, like watching your journey over these seven Worlds has been incredible. And now you're a veteran, super teammate that people love to be around, and just watching your personal growth has been so great.
Well, thanks a lot. Yeah, it's definitely tough to grow up, but it's fun. It's the perks that come with it are greater than not growing up.
Well, you're always going to have the animal in you. You're never going to lose that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to get rid of.
I mean, you got the nickname for a reason, I think.
But, yeah, my little kid's taking on the animal junior role. He's getting a little, getting courageous.
Good.
How old is he?
Blake is 5, and now we have a newborn, Savannah, who is just about 7 weeks now.
Oh, geez.
So, yep.
Blake's a big Packer fan. I love that.
Yeah, that's his two favorite colors, green and gold.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, green and yellow, but it's almost gold. That's what he says.
Yeah.
He's disappointed to hear that they have a bye week this week.
I know.
Well, at least they won't lose this week. We know that.
Yeah.
That's true. Joe, you've been around a lot of skiers in your time at Bartlett's, Lego, Tampa, all the Team USAs. Who've been some of your favorite teammates? Who stands out to you as people you love being teammates with or you've come to love and respect in the sport?
My favorite teammate is probably Caleb Trzynski. He's always fun on the water. Other good teammates are Hunter Hansen, Pete Hagerty, Dan Olson's a great teammate. Troy Roker. Let's see. I mean, there's so many. Cody Coffey. There's so many great teammates. You know, it's hard to mention all of them. You know, everybody on Team USA. But just, you know, even drivers. It's hard to just mention. They all are great, you know. Mm-hmm.
What do you love about show skiing? You've had a lifelong, go of it in this sport. What do you love about show skiing?
I love that it's endless, basically. Anybody can do anything, and you can be a part of something, like whether it's rolling ropes on the dock or talking on the microphone or running the sound, running the spotlight or riding in the boat. And then it goes to skiing. It's even more endless. Like if you get bored doing something, jump on a different apparatus or, you know, it's like, and then ride that till the rope breaks and then fix the rope and then go do something else or, you know, so it's like, it's, you know, if you get bored, you're kind of doing it wrong.
And there's something for everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah. That's cool.
Joe, before we wrap up here, we always kind of ask for a tip or a piece of advice from our guests is, so if there's these younger skiers on Legoland, or, you know, people that have grown up watching Joe Sawaska on at every single world's tournament, you know, what's your piece of advice to some of these younger skiers? If they wanted to be Joe, you know, how do they get there?
Get down to the basics. Don't skip, you know, don't skip something because you want to be able to do something else. Like when I started, it was like I had to make 100 helis before I could try a front flip. And then I had to make 100 front flips before I could try a gainer. And that really helped me hone into like what I was doing rather than skipping a step and you know, potentially losing out on needed information. That and then be well-rounded. Try to be able to do everything in the ski show. So when time comes and they need somebody to do it, if you're available, you can do it.
Perfect.
Yep. Love that. It's great advice, you know, and you're right on the skipping steps. And I wonder how many people you see, even with freestyle jump today, with its growth and its boom, people make 5 flips and they're moving on to gainers. Like I love that concept of make 100, then move on, make 100, then move on, because that only increases your consistency and ability over time. Like play the long game, not the short game. Of course, we all want to make the new next trick, but when you play the long game, then somebody like you can count on in any jump, any spot in the show, because you've built that consistency. That's great advice.
And it grows your muscle memory too. You know, you keep repetition over the same thing over time, you know, you're going to be able to do it without even thinking about it. So.
Well, Joe, this has been a blast. We appreciate you being on the show. Love being your teammate on Team USA. Looking forward to the journey in training and then to Australia, man. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for having me. This has been fun.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, as I told Joe, love watching his evolution as a person. I mean, what a phenomenal skier he's been and become, and so reliable. But watching this guy grow up before our eyes has been super cool to see.
Yeah, his history in the sport, the amount of time he has spent as a professional skier and still continues to do it. And then again, every single Team USA, that's 7. And he's an incredible skier, obviously, but man, what a teammate and just a hard worker, not afraid to get his hands dirty. And as you can tell from this last interview, very humble guy.
Yeah, he is. And that's, you know, I think again, part of his growth journey as he's matured. And, but I love, you know, you still love the fun side of Joe, which maybe didn't come out so much today, but it's there. I remember in 2020 when we were in Australia, the bus rides were a blast because of Joe. He just brings this spirit and this energy, so much fun, even in that canceled Worlds due to COVID in 2020. Looking forward to going back to Australia with Joe and the gang in 2025. He's fun to be around, and he's a super teammate.
Absolutely, 100%.
Thank you to our sponsors today. We have 3 phenomenal sponsors. Florida World, the dark satirical fiction novel written by Steve Welch about a professional water skier at a Florida World theme park. Get that book on Amazon. Flyman Skis, custom-made jump skis and featherboard swivel skis at affordable prices. Get yours at flymanskis.com. And Championship Awards, you need custom awards, engraving, you name it. You've seen Dan Jaws' awards at tournaments and at our ski show awards. Our custom-made awards are done by Championship Awards. There is nobody better in the business for your awards.
And of course, thanks again to all of our listeners. This is Matt and Adam, and this is The Ski Show.
Thank you for listening to The Ski Show, the ultimate show ski podcast with Matt and Adam. We're the only show specifically dedicated to all things show ski. If you have feedback or ideas for future shows, hit us up on social media or email us at theskishowpodcast@gmail.com.